Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
How do you deal with God on this matter of trust? Do you need guidance in your life? Do you need for something to happen? Are you asking Him to change something? One of my favorite verses, and a verse that my mother gave me many, many years ago, was Naomi's answer to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou see how the matter will fall." And the Lord had given my mother that verse when she was worried about the possibility of being a foreign missionary. She wasn't worried about being a single missionary. She was worrying about being a missionary at all. She just thought it would be perfectly dreadful if the Lord should call her to be a missionary, perhaps in some awful place like Africa or something. And when she began to pray about it, the Lord just said, "Sit still, my daughter, till thou see how the matter will fall." She was also worried about the matter of marriage, and of course the Lord took care of that, gave her a husband, and also made her a missionary. Where does our security, our confidence, and our trust lie? Isaiah 40, verses 21 and several verses thereafter says this: "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in." And skipping down to 25, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God'? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they that wait on the Lord," the New International Version says, "those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." That God who stretches out the heavens, who calls the stars and leads them out one by one, is He trustworthy? Do you think that the God who can manage the galaxies and who designs the tiniest little animal, who creates a baby, do you think there's a possibility that maybe He can run your life, that you can trust Him to give you what's better than your wildest imaginings? For whom do we wait? We wait for this God, this Creator God, this Redeemer, this Shepherd, this Savior, this Friend, this Lord, this Master. This kind of waiting is an act of trust. It is not merely passive. Waiting on God is a willed and deliberate act of trust. It doesn't necessarily have to do anything with your feelings. It's a matter of choice. And this is another thing that I found in Viktor Frankl's book. Stunning proofs that the people in concentration camp survived or didn't survive very often by choice. They could choose to respond in a different way than would be seemingly just perfectly natural and human. And he gives example after example of the people who made this choice, that we are not at the mercy even of the guards in a concentration camp, let alone at the mercy of our circumstances. We can choose. And I kept wanting him to say, trust God. You can choose to trust God. But he doesn't go that far. But that's what I want to say to you. And I have a little shelf of books at home written by my grandfather, and I'm ashamed to say that I had never read these books until just this past year. And in one of them, I came across this lovely paragraph. It's from a little book of his called When Days Seem Dark. Standing still, on some occasions, is the paramount duty of the follower of Christ. There are times when we must be merely onlookers, when the flesh and the brain refuse to work, hopes shrivel like autumn leaves, and we simply do not know which way to turn. It may be just then that we shall learn for the first time how to stand still in perfect peace and quietness of soul, not idling away our time, not hopelessly limp and heedless of the outcome, but working on in such ways as may be given to us, observing with eager joy the way in which God will work it all out to a perfectly glorious ending. All our little fussiness and haste, all our strong anxiety and warping care, are as futile as the tugging of a little child's hands at the great iron knob of a closed and barred gate through which his loving father does not care to have him go just then. The message to the Church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation was, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What he opens, no one can shut. I know your deeds. I know that you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word. I have loved you. You have kept my command to endure patiently. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. God commands you and me, as well as the church in Philadelphia, to endure patiently. I don't think that comes naturally for most of us, does it? We endure with clenched teeth and white knuckles. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, or long suffering. The willingness actively and peacefully and joyfully to trust him who is worthy of our trust. We are in his hands. We are encircled with his fatherly care. You know, the Bible says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about them that fear him. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Is that a safe place to be? Encircled, upheld, and overshadowed by his tender, loving care. Look to God, wait in patience, and light will come. Psalm 18:28. And so God is saying to you and me, trust me. Trust me. Now, how do we do this? We're down to point two now for you note takers. Now, this does require my cooperation, a conscious, deliberate choice to put myself completely in his presence, within those encircling arms, and utterly at his disposal. I'll repeat that. How do we wait? How do we trust him? How do we wait on God? This requires my cooperation, a conscious, deliberate choice to put myself completely in his presence, within those encircling arms, utterly at his disposal. Most of us are too vehement, too headlong, too impatient. And Viktor Frankl says, we who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man, but one thing the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And there were always choices to make. Every day, every hour offered the opportunity to make a decision which determined whether you would or would not submit to those powers which threatened to rob you of your very self, your inner freedom, which determined whether or not you would become the plaything of circumstance, renouncing freedom and dignity, to become molded into the form of the typical inmate. Now, of course, I believe in the grace of God, and I believe that every man in concentration camp who acted in this way that he describes, walking through the camp, comforting people and giving away the last piece of bread, that certainly came from the grace of God, whether they themselves realized it, whether Frankl realized it or not. You know, God's grace is poured out on all of us all the time. As the Bible says, he makes his sun to rise on the just and on the unjust, and the rain to fall as well. But since we do know the Lord and we are eager to learn to know him better, then we can be much more specific about the kind of choices. We are not at the mercy of circumstances. Now, if Frankl could say that about a concentration camp, where if ever there's a human experience where you are totally at the mercy of wicked men daily, men with whips, men who could starve you to death, men who would come and put out a fire that a few poor shivering men were trying to warm their hands in order to hold the tools that they were forced to use. If they could make choices, you and I can trust God to help us with our choices, a conscious, deliberate choice to put ourselves utterly at his disposal.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.